Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Everybody, you tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my sidekick, Andrew, my son, Newman.
So now I'm your sidekick.
Sidekick.
So
co-host, it would be someone who does half the show or part, a big part of the show.
I do a big part of the show.
So sidekick is someone who just spits out stuff as we go along. That's what I decided. And we
so
have
you decided for our last show.
We
have. Oh! Now
we have
I'm just spitting stuff out.
In the booth.
Just spitting stuff out.
Producing and engineering inside. All right. The show is live every Thursday from 4:35. Tune in. We'd like to hear from you while we're streaming live. So why don't you contact us? You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.com.
Org.
Or you can call us. And the number is...
I'm not spitting anything out anymore.
497-2128.
That's it.
So call us while we're streaming live and talk to us. Tell us what you think. Because today we're going to be talking about campaign tax issues. You know, it's coming. The campaign is well underway. And
but how does this affect us?
How does it affect
what are they saying that's
going
to affect us?
Well, one of the big topics this year is taxes. Of course, Obama is facing the... Bush tax cuts are expiring, and he promised 2013 that they will be eliminated, tax cuts. But now he's changing the tune a little bit, and he's saying only the tax brackets are going to increase for the people over $250,000, so the middle-income people don't get the burden of the tax shortage. The deficit. And so Obama, we kind of know where he stands with the taxes. He's been telling us for a while, and in his campaign, he's not really changing his tune. But
I have a question. Yeah. Why don't they just raise taxes on corporations?
You know, I don't have the answer, but I do have a very interesting discussion in the next set of the show, the second half of the show, about business and their interest deductions and how they save a lot of money. But we'll get to that in 15 minutes. So let's talk about the big issue, as far as I'm concerned, for the middle-income people.
What is middle-income?
Middle-income is from, let's say, $50,000 to $250,000.
I thought median household income was $50,000 in America.
Yeah, so middle-income. This is $50,000, because under $50,000, you're poor.
Okay.
You know, assuming a married family with kids and stuff. So $50,000 to $250,000 is that bracket called middle-class.
That's the middle-class.
And that's, you know, probably 90% of the population of this country. I don't know the number, but it's pretty, you know, it's pretty big. We know that Romney, we know how he feels about
how does he feel?
The low-income people.
How does he feel?
Well, you heard him this week, what he said, right?
What'd he say?
Come on.
I didn't hear.
Oh, well, you ought to stay tuned.
I come here for my information.
He divides the country into those who pay the taxes and those who don't pay the taxes.
Whoa.
The moneymakers and the moochers.
Can I reference one of your previous segments? You said 47%. Of this country doesn't even file a tax
return. He took that number and ran with it. He called them the moochers. He thinks that, you know, he's not even going to deal with those people. This is how Romney approached it. You didn't read this week. He was just his foot in the
I just
mouth.
Want to see what you said.
But 47% of the people do not pay federal income tax. It's absolutely true. They're often retired people, poor people, working people who get enough credits to wipe out their federal tax
liability. So I'm a Republican.
I'm sorry. Well, we're going to talk about...
Well, don't I complain all the time...
You do.
...about old people...
Yes.
...sick people...
Yes.
...and people who don't pay any money in taxes.
Yes.
So I'm a Republican. I'm Mitt Romney. Maybe
at 30?
I speak a little bit better, but...
At 30?
At 30.
I think he had more money than you at 30, but okay.
Well,
I can't believe that my son, who was...
Well, the burden falls on those people who do work.
Okay, but this is my position, and then we're going to get to the crux of the show. My position is, if you make $250,000 or $1 million, and you pay, let's just say, 40% of your income in taxes, that leaves 60% of a very large amount of income to live on.
Not really. In New York City, it's not a lot of money.
I just said let's use that number, okay? 40%. 40% of $1 million is $400,000. It's a lot of tax, no doubt. It still leaves you $600,000 to have a very nice lifestyle.
I think there's more people closer to 250 than there are closer to $1 million.
Probably.
So to lump those, that's a large group of people to lump together. Like, for argument's sake, you're saying 50 to 250 is most of the population.
That's called the middle class. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then once you hit 250, you're rich. Like going from 240 to 250 is not a big jump.
We always had a graduated tax system where you don't get taxed at the highest rate from your first dollar. You get taxed at the levels when it kicks in.
So once it's 250, it goes up to like 38%.
So if you make $255,000 versus...
Why'd they stop it from continuing to graduate, to escalate?
Well, because after you get to that point...
Why do they level it at 40? Why not just keep going up to like 60?
Because they would have... How many brackets do you want them to have?
Who cares? Go up to 75%.
Well, you know...
Because once you get to like $750,000 in income, that extra income, between 750 and say 850, you tax it at 75%. Yeah. Who cares? At that point, it's not that much more money.
Right.
You're pretty much just saving that money anyway.
Well, a long time ago, they did have a lot of brackets. And a long time ago, they even went up to 90%
exactly.
of the brackets. Yeah, well, that was considered totally unfair.
Why?
As a matter of fact, there are countries that still do that. And the people who are very wealthy leave those countries because the tax burden is just unfair.
But they're not paying their real tax. That's only an income tax. It's not actually where these people are making most of their money anyway.
Well, they still have to pay their income tax.
Well, get rid of capital gains taxes then.
Okay. Can we talk about what the campaign promises are?
Well, that's my campaign promise.
Well, are you running for president?
I should. I would raise the taxes on business. I was thinking about this today.
Let's talk about that in a little while.
Okay.
Let's talk about that business income tax, because there's a big problem there, and no one's addressing it.
Well, the problem is the people who are rich also
they
have all the corporations
companies.
As
Correct.
Well.
Correct.
So it's pretty much the same people.
Correct.
So that's why you
Therein
should look at it as
a
one
big
picture.
Problem.
You should look at it as one picture.
But not everybody
to
is in
separate
that.
It is ridiculous.
But not everybody has the control. There are a lot of millionaires or people making over 250 that don't have control over businesses.
That's why I don't think about those people. I think about the people making, who own the corporations, who also like file their high-end income taxes, who have these Mitt Romney type tax shelters.
Mm-hmm.
So like these are the people I would worry about. Like these businesses tax them at like 70% on their income.
But they disperse all their income, and they have a bottom line where they have a loss.
They disperse it to their friends in salaries in dividends or
in
distributions.
All sorts of different
places. There are ways, but then you tax those people at higher rates.
Okay.
You can get to that money.
It's very hard.
No, it's not.
Look, I did tax planning for businesses for a long time. They have ways.
How? Other than giving distributions to your investors,
mm-hmm.
or pitting it out in salary, or reinvesting it and stuff like that. But if you reinvest it, you're creating more jobs. If you give it in distributions, you're going to need to raise the tax rates on the capital gains that those people are going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having 20% or whatever it is at this point, make it the normal income tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Well, that's
that money goes back in. And then salaries go up.
Well, Obama wants to do that. But of course, Mitt Romney doesn't want to change.
Of course not. He makes $20 million a year.
He makes most of his capital gains. Correct. Okay. But let's go back to what the discussion is for the middle income people. The middle income people don't really have a capital gains kind of problem.
No.
Okay. They have mortgage interest deduction, which is one of their best deductions.
That's fine.
But they're talking about taking it away.
No.
But they are talking about the Republicans, your party, the one that you aligned with today. Today you aligned with the Republicans.
I align with nobody.
Joe,
I'm a man without
Joe,
a party.
Can we play the tape back?
I'm a man without
can
a party.
Can we play the tape back?
Were you saying that in jest, Andrew?
I was saying it in jest.
Because
I hate old people. I hate rich. I hate poor people. I hate rich people. I hate everybody who doesn't pay as much taxes as I do.
Well, you're a Republican.
No,
that's a Republican.
No, I'm the guy stuck in the middle. I'm a middle class man.
Okay. Well, now they want to take away the mortgage interest deduction.
That's stupid.
The Romney people say, let's take it away. Let's cut out some of those tax deductions because that's a way to get the revenue we need to offset the tax deduction, the tax rates that we're going to implement. He's going to cut the marginal tax rates, the tax rates down about 20%. So somebody who's paying 35% tax will go down to 28%. So how do you pay for these tax cuts? Well,
take away credits,
take away the write-offs, the exemptions, the deductions, and one of them is the mortgage interest deduction.
Get rid of charitable contributions.
Well, that's probably not a gigantic deduction, because the mortgage interest deduction costs $100 billion a year in tax revenue, because a lot of people, 65% of the country, own their own homes.
That's more of a job creator.
What's that?
The mortgage interest? Because people buy houses.
Correct.
And buying houses creates more houses.
There's a whole thing about that. Of course, the real estate industry lobbied very strongly against that idea, and the construction industry.
Of course.
But they claim that if you gave up the mortgage interest deduction, the economists say, the value of the home should fall. And because you no longer have that write-off for, and it's, so it's not as valuable as it used to be. So, but
that would screw everyone who just bought a house.
Screw it, not just bought a house.
Everyone who owns a house. Yeah.
Everybody who owns a house who has a mortgage. There are a lot of people who have, some people who have mortgages.
Especially the people
homes
who are underwater. Right. Oh God, those people who are
They don't really need. They're not even paying their mortgages. It's the middle income people.
Some people are still paying those loans down, even when their house isn't worth what it used to be.
Those people who are struggling to pay their mortgages don't really need the mortgage interest deduction. But I'm talking about,
why wouldn't you need the mortgage interest deduction?
Well, because you're not making as much money anymore. I'm talking about the average person who bought a home and included in their tax world their deductions. Mm-hmm. They're getting a write off for it, and you know, it goes all. And the more money you earn, usually the bigger your mortgage interest deduction is, because you can afford a bigger house. So it's going to affect the rich people even more. But they're saying, you know, well, we're going to cut their effective tax brackets, so they're going to get a big savings that way. So Obama is saying you better not touch the middle class mortgage interest deduction, because that's one of their favorite deductions. You know, that works for them, and you'll destroy the real estate construction
that's
industry.
Retarded.
Yeah. So that's your man. If you want to align with the Republicans.
Both of them. Neither one knows what they're doing.
Well, that's what Romney also claims that he can cut the rates. He can cut out some of the deductions, such as the mortgage interest and other things, charitable contribution deductions and other kinds of deductions, and still not have these deficits that Obama runs. But all the economists in the country say this mathematically impossible. How could he possibly do this? And he has yet to tell us, because he's very vague. And no matter how they run the numbers, after he speaks and tells them his plan, they're saying there's no way that he can pull this off.
He's going to give us the money.
He's going to give us the money, and then we got to throw our own garbage away and police our own streets?
No, he's going to give us the money. He's gonna be like, hey, here's the money.
Romney's going to give us.
What? How else is he going to do it?
There's no way he could do it. There's no way he could do it. So I don't know how you could possibly say that he's a good candidate, because.
So that's it. You're just writing the guy off right now.
I am writing him off.
Because he doesn't. He's not explaining anything. He's not answering this question. So you're just going to be like, he's done.
Excuse me.
He's done.
That's
it.
Has he answered any questions?
So what? Wait for the debate.
Oh, well, when the debate comes, that should be even more interesting, because he'll put his foot in his mouth even more.
Well, let him do that.
Yeah, we're gonna. Okay, so.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
All right. Do you really think this is the best candidate the Republican Party could have came up with?
I haven't a clue.
Like, honestly.
Well, who else?
No, definitely.
I don't think so. There's Jack Inslee. Holy shit, Jack Inslee's here.
Hey guys, watch your mouth, man.
So are we FCC regulated?
No, we're not. But I think Chris Christie could have got the middle swing voters.
I think a lot of other people would have been better candidates.
First of all, Chris Christie didn't want to be the president.
Because he knew he couldn't win.
Why couldn't he win?
Because Obama's very popular. No, as much as people don't like Obama, a lot of the centrists and the liberals love him.
Yeah.
And he's going to win a lot of the swing states, because he is black. He's very smart. He's very centrist, so like most people don't like extreme sides.
Yes.
So like someone in the middle.
Right.
So he's definitely going to win over anyone who's coming out of the Republican Party.
Uh-huh.
Let's be realistic here.
Yeah.
So why would you put up your best candidate? That's like putting your best pitcher against another.
Well, why wouldn't you put your best candidate so who can show the Americans that we have somebody even better than the
but
guy?
But they don't.
They don't.
They're going to take it in 4 years.
And who's going to be in 4 years?
Who knows?
Wait a second. Was that the plan when McCain choked?
I think they punted McCain too.
They did.
Come on, boys. It's the reason is because
they don't have a good candidate. Just shut her off. Go to the break.
Let's take a break here. And we're going to come back and talk more about more taxes. Okay.
My farm is White Oak Pastures, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Okay, Flash Talks Cash. We're talking campaign tax issues. Here's a tax issue that the campaign isn't really addressing. Andrew brought it up a few minutes ago regarding the business deduction. Well, let me tell you something about the business interest deduction. It's 100% deductible. So businesses, particularly banks, leverage a lot of their business. And they get to write off the interest 100%. And they don't use their own money. They use borrowed money to run their businesses. Banks, through the years...
How is that fiscally possible? At some point, you have to pay the loan off, don't you?
Well, you know, they roll things over and they pay the debt back. They pay the principal back. But the point of the bank, the way the bank operates is that it... especially investment bankers, when a new company comes out and they do an IPO, first of all, the banks make money on the underwriting and they issue the stock and they make money through that. They also, sometimes they don't do an IPO. Sometimes a company will try to raise more money and they will issue bonds, corporate bonds. There is a much better market for the banks for issuing corporate bonds than there are for issuing stock. First of all, stocks trade on a very transparent platform, and it's highly regulated. The bond market is very opaque. There is a difference between the buying price and the selling price, and all the players don't really know. One guy could be paying one price, another guy could be paying another price, and the prices change according to the phone call or the email. You know, it's done in such a way that you don't really know if you're getting a good deal or not.
What do you get for the bond?
What?
What do you get for the bond?
I'm sorry?
What do you get for the bond?
Well.
Interest?
You get interest, of course, but they make their money on the spreads. So they sell a bond and for, you know, 2.5%, but they might have gotten that bond or issued that bond at 2%. So they make the money on the 0.5%. Okay. But, you know, and so that's how the banks make a lot of their money nowadays. They get 100% write-off for all that interest they pay. It's a better deal than the banks taking the profits and issuing a dividend to their shareholders. That's not a write-off. But interest is a write-off. So it's far better for them to go borrow money and do business than it is to take the profits and issue it to their shareholders. You got it?
I understand.
So they say, let's at least make dividends a deduction for the corporations.
How do they generate dividends then?
From their profits.
But there aren't any profits.
There are profits. No, they're borrowing money. They're not using much of their own money. It's still profits in all of this.
How do you pay down the principal on the loan then?
But the money that you borrowed and the money that you're doing business with. If I want to buy a car, okay? And I'm that's not a good example.
No.
Okay, if you want to borrow money from me as if I'm the bank.
Say I make $20,000.
As an individual or a business?
In net income. Business.
Business.
I borrow $50,000.
To do something.
To buy more my company, apparently.
Okay, for cash flow? To buy machinery, equipment?
If I'm buying machinery, it's not a expense. It's not a straight line expense. Yeah,
well, it's a write-off.
Well, so...
We're talking about the bank.
Where is your money coming from?
The bank.
If you're
loans
paying the principal and the loan.
But from the increase in sales that you got from buying.
But then your bottom line increases anyway. You have to pay tax on that also. Or you have to distribute that as well. Okay. How do you get rid of the net income?
Wait a second. If I have $50,000 in the bank to buy the equipment, or I can go to the bank and borrow $50,000 and buy the equipment, that lets me now...
But you're still sitting on the
$50,000. The $50,000 is sitting, instead of issuing it to my shareholders as a dividend, because that's not a deduction, I'm going to let it sit there, and I'm going to borrow the bank's money, and I'm going to use the bank's money and generate more revenue and pay back the bank.
But you still have the $50,000 to distribute as dividends.
They don't have to, because it's not a deduction to them, so why should they give the money back to the shareholders?
Because they gave you the money in the first place.
No, you earned that through your revenue, through your profits. Okay, so the point of
this
is... Yeah,
but what's the point of owning stock if you're not going to get any return on it?
Well, sometimes appreciation. People own stock lots of times for appreciation. They don't get dividends, okay? Mm-hmm. And when they go to sell the stock, it's based upon the business valuation. If you have a lot of money in the bank, your business may be worth more money, so your stock's appreciated. You don't have to issue all the profits in the dividend. But the key here is dividends are not deductible. There's no incentive for a bank to issue dividends to their shareholders. It is far more desirable for the bank to just write off interest expense and keep operating business. They also have stopped loaning money to the companies, and they're in the business of underwriting IPOs. They're in the business of issuing corporate bonds. So they got out of the business, the core business of loaning money to small businesses to grow. And now they're in the business of interest, just making interest on bonds and
wasn't
other
that interest on loans too?
Interest on loans.
But I'm saying, why not just do loans then, too?
Well, they stopped doing that after the financial crisis. So the banks need to, the businesses need to stop getting a big write-off for all that interest. There's got to be a point where you're over-leveraged.
Yeah, but how do you decide who's using it properly and who's not using it?
They have a proposal that your debt-to-equity
debt-to-income ratio
should only be 5 times instead of it limitless. You can borrow 100% of your income. There's no limit. There's no limit. So now they're saying put some limits on it. So then people get back into the business of going to the bank, borrowing money, and the bank has to lend money out to you because there's no other way for them to make any more money. Okay? So that was a little complicated, and Obama has addressed it, but he hasn't really come up with a plan. Romney isn't touching this. And this is a big cause. You know, we know that, you know, the banks caused a lot of problems for us, and the banks need to have a lot of adjustments because they're still running the show.
So can you answer my question before?
What's that?
Why don't they just raise the tax on corporations?
I don't think that's the answer, because I told you there's all sorts of ways to reduce the corporate's profits so they don't pay any taxes. They buy equipment. They get big pension plans. They buy benefits for it. They give stockholders or officers big salaries.
But then
they just keep diminishing.
But I'm saying you have to keep then also taxing the rich.
Well,
if you're making a lot of money as a corporation,
yes,
you're sitting on the cash.
Yes.
There's no benefit to anybody because you're not creating jobs. You're not doing any infrastructure growth.
Right.
You're not actually reinvesting that as job creators. So now that's not benefiting anyone. You're going to then distribute it to your
shareholders.
Employees. Like, well, distribute it to shareholders.
You give
it to your employees and salaries and bonuses because the top is doing so great.
Yes.
And then you tax them.
Well, they are taxed, individual rates.
Oh, you need to increase those as well.
Well, you said that. That's why you're a Republican.
I'm a Democrat.
Oh, now you're
I'm a Democrat on that front.
Oh, wait. It's now 15 minutes later. He's changing.
I'm a Democrat on that front.
What are you going to do when you go in the booth?
I don't even go in.
That's a stupid answer.
Well, I don't like either one of them. Okay. Who should I vote for?
I don't have.
If I don't like either one, who do I vote for? We need to get rid of the two-party system.
You want a third party?
I want unlimited parties.
Okay. Well,
we start the write-in Joe Galarraga campaign.
Joe, what would you do in this situation, on the tax situation? What would you do?
I agree with Andrew.
There you go. I got a job in Joe's. Vote for Joe Galarraga.
No, I'm writing in Andrew.
Joe, that would just admit it because Jack's voting for you. You're voting for me. I don't think. Can you vote for yourself?
Yes,
I guess
absolutely.
You can. So, Jack.
No, I'm voting for Obama. I'm just
putting Joe's name out there for other people.
But what do you like about Obama?
Well,
that's another show.
Yeah. Oh. But let me talk now one more tax problem we have. It's a bit of a problem.
So wait, am I not a Democrat when it comes to taxing the rich?
I think you're a flip-flopper.
I care about making this country great.
Well, that's
and not
really
putting
good.
My personal interests, even though my personal interests would be served most by taxing the rich and taxing the old, because I'm neither one of those.
One day you might be in both of those parties.
But once you're up to that level of rich wealth,
isn't that what I said earlier? Isn't that what I said earlier?
I said the same thing.
Okay, can we just talk about one more quick proposal in taxes? This is a bad one. You know, the Obamacare program has a lot of taxes included in there to make that thing work.
Okay.
And it's kind of upsetting. So if you make over $250,000 as a married couple or $200,000 as a single person, you now have to pay additional Medicare tax of another 0.9% to the end. So if you make $3 million, $4 million, anybody over $250,000 is now going to pay another almost 1% of Medicare tax. It's now 1.45%. It's going to go up to almost 2.5%.
Only if you make over $250,000.
And the amount, only $250,000. Then there is a 3.8% tax coming in on investments if you make more than $250,000 or $200,000.
That's fine.
So if you have capital gains, interest, dividends, all sorts of investments, you will now pay another 3.8% tax on. Well, it affects a lot of people.
Why?
Well, in the case if you sell your primary home and you have a capital gain on your primary home, now you have to pay.
Most people get to write off $500,000 of that
if you're married.
Yeah,
right.
Or $250,000 if
right,
you're,
right.
Most people's houses don't cost that much. Well, and if your house costs more than $300,000, or actually at that point, capital gains over $250,000. Or
yes.
Your overall income's over $250,000?
Your income's over $250,000.
All right. Well, at that point, if you're making more than $200,000 on the sale of your house,
yes,
and not reinvesting in another house?
Well, you can't. No, reinvesting doesn't matter. That's an old, old, old rule.
Oh, you don't get to reinvest in a new house?
No, that doesn't matter anymore. Okay. Then we talked.
Wait, guys, question.
Yes.
So
you have to pay capital gains whenever you sell a house.
Though you're reinvesting the money in another.
Doesn't matter.
Even
that's
if you're
an
rolling
old,
it up,
old rule.
That makes no sense.
Well, that's the rule.
You're not actually realizing that money.
Well, you are if you let your gain get to be over $250,000 or $500,000 if you're a married couple, you got to pay the tax man. And now you got to pay the tax man another 3.8% on top of the capital gains rate. The capital gains rate this year is 15%. It has been for a few years. It's going up to 20% if Obama wins and reverses.
I think they should make
it's going to be almost 24%.
I think they should allow you to reinvest that in your primary
home.
They
used to do that. They stopped doing it because most people don't have a gain over $250,000 or $500,000.
But what if you've made a smart investment when you're younger?
No kidding.
And
that's
you want to then roll that up into like a nicer house for yourself.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, now you're acting like a Republican.
Only in this situation.
Okay.
Capital gains on other income.
He's flip-flopping again.
No, this is what affects most individuals.
Yeah.
Capital gains taxes, when you're taking your money out over that much money, yeah, you're not doing. What are you going to do with that? You made money on your money already.
Correct.
You're making money on top of your money.
Yes.
Why not tax it at the normal income rate? Because it's income to you.
Okay. Well, what about your house? So you don't want to do that on your house, though?
If you're reinvesting it in yourself.
They don't have that rule anymore. They gave you the $500,000 exclusion instead of the reinvestment rule, okay? That's the rule. I can't help it. 1997.
Wait, so you get the house plus the $500,000?
Yes.
Oh, then whatever. If you make that much money in your house, then whatever.
Okay. Whatever. So remember I talked to you about if you don't have health care, you will pay a tax. If in 2014...
Oh, that drove
me
nuts.
Watch this. This is a new part. Part two. $95 penalty if you're an individual, or $285 for families, or 1% of your income, whichever is higher, okay? In 2015, the numbers go up, 2% of your income, and in 2016, 2.5% of your income. So if you decide not to buy medical insurance, and you make $50,000, you're going to have a $500 penalty.
Adjusted gross income, though.
It doesn't say. It just says.
I'm assuming it's your adjusted gross income.
It says income. At this point, it doesn't say. So the little penalties that they did have, the $95, $300, is now either that or a percentage of your income.
Or $500 if you make like
whatever your income is, 1%, 2%, 2.5%.
Well,
so
at this point,
this
wait,
is,
let me say something.
Yes.
If you don't want to get health insurance.
That's what you got to pay. You got to pay a penalty.
That's fine. Because if you're not getting health insurance, which costs $500 a month at least.
Yeah.
You're saving $5,500 a year.
Yes.
So
you got to pay additional tax for not having insurance.
I don't agree with that.
Well, that's what is in the Obamacare. So let's
Well, at this point, who cares? Because the government's socialist as hell anyway.
And remember I told you a few minutes ago that the Medicare tax is going up 0.9% for people over 250. That's not, the employer doesn't have to match that. That's just an employee tax. So the employer doesn't have the burden.
But you're actually saving that on your personal Social Security, which is still 2% lower. They haven't equalized that yet.
Yes, I understand.
So you're still up 1%.
Who's that? Who are you?
The individual.
The employee?
The individual.
Oh, the 2%. Well, they might kick back out. Because that gets renewed every year or so.
Can we get rid of Social Security?
No.
Why not?
Because I've been paying it for a long time. I'm going to collect it in a few more years.
But you're going to live another 35 years.
Yeah.
So.
What?
So you got to pay for your parents. Now we have to pay for you.
I pay for my grandmother.
What do you think about the Chicago thing?
The
pension fund. I know they were on strike.
You mean the school teachers?
Yeah, their pension fund is about to dry up.
Yeah,
because this is something that drives me nuts every day.
Well, we can talk about that in another show, but those municipal pensions are draining a lot of cities. It's the cause of a lot of bankruptcies.
They need to change the terms on these things.
And
you need to work more than 20 years to be vested.
Well, they have to deal with that.
Or get rid of pensions totally.
Well, they have to deal with that. Okay, well, that's the end of this week's show, and we'll talk to you the next time we're on. Okay? Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.